In the latter part of this week's Sedra, we read of Laban's chasing after Yaakov and apprehending him, and of his accusing Yaakov Avinu of theft, both of his heart, Vakidoves Levavi, and of his trafim, Lama Ganaftas Elohai. Yaakov Avinu quickly dismisses the first, Ki Aresi, Ki Amarti, Penzolos Benosecha Meimi. I was afraid that you would keep your daughter's captive, steal them from me. But he takes the second much more seriously, granting Laban permission to rifle through all of his and his family's belongings. Bechor Sher points out that Yaakov doesn't explode at Laban until after he's made sure that Laban didn't find anything. After Laban fails to locate the Trafim, and indeed as the Torah tells us explicitly, V'lo yada Yaakov ki Rachel din avasam, Yaakov himself was not involved or in the know about Rachel's actions. So Yaakov, after having put up with Laban's chicanery and deceit for 20 years, capped off by the ultimate chutzpah, that is, Laban accusing Yaakov of stealing from him, Yaakov explodes at Laban. He asserts that he has served Laban faithfully for 20 years, despite having been cheated by Laban numerous times, too numerous to count. Zesrim shana anochi imach v'cheylecha v'izecha lo shiteidu v'eileit zon chama v'cholti. He never stole a penny from Laban. If something happened and he didn't do a perfect job, Yaakov Avinu made good. He never slacked off in the watching of the sheep, regardless of the weather or the time. As Yaakov had said earlier to his wives, Ki b'chol kochi avadti asabichen, I served your father with every ounce of my strength. Yaakov's behavior serves for us as the paradigm of a worker's responsibility to his or her employer. The Rambam near the end of Hilchos Schiros discusses the obligations, legal and ethical, of an employer to his or her employee. But he then transitions and concludes the Sefer as following. Kiderech shemuzar balabayis shelo yigzal schar oni. Just as the employer is warned not to steal or temporarily withhold the wages of a poor person, of his worker, so too the poor person, the worker, is warned not to steal from the worker, the employer. Mevatel little here, a little there, wastes that time and whittles away the entire day in deceit. He has to be as careful as he possibly can with the time. The Chachamim exempted a person who's a poel, who's on the clock, from making the fourth bracha, Tova Meitid, because it's only rabbinic, and they didn't want it to be taken away from the Baal Habayis's time. V'chein chayev lavo b'chol kocho. Not just every minute of time, you have to work with full effort. He's obligated to work with all of his strength. Sherei Yaakov atzadik omar ki b'chol kochi avadet tavichem. As Yaakov Avinu said, for with all of my strength I served your father. Rambam here speaks of two obligations of the worker to his or her employer. The first relates to not wasting any time of the employer. And the second is to not steal any attention from one's work, to not fail to be properly focused on one's work, to not work b'chol kocho. The first, of course, is only relevant to those who work on the clock, be it hourly or salaried, where there's an expectation of a minimum number of hours. The latter applies to everyone working for someone else, even if their wages are not tied to the clock. If they fail to do the job without proper focus and attention. There has been much talk in recent months about quiet quitting on the one hand and hardcore workers on the other. While those terms may encompass a broad range of meanings, depending on who is using them, it's quite clear from a halachic and hashkafic perspective that a Torah true employee is supposed to be hardcore in one sense. That is, that once the terms and the expectations of the employment have been made clear, the employee is obligated to meet those terms. He may not be mevatel ma'at kan, and is obligated to work b'chol kocho to meet those obligations. And if one cannot be exact, then he or she must err slightly on the side of caution. Anochi achatena miyodi kevat shem. The fact that everyone else does or doesn't do a particular thing doesn't render it halachically or ethically permissible. If others are pilfering small amounts of company resources for personal use, that doesn't render lo sigzol permissible. And if others are slacking off or wasting time, or even engaged in side hustles, as they are called, which diminish their ability to properly and fully focus on their work, that does not render lo sigzol permissible. This should not be taken to mean that there should be no boundaries of work. As a values proposition, we believe that one's malacha is on some level supposed to be arai, and one's Torah, which one might construe broadly for all of our spiritual obligations, including spending time with our family, keva. As Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Koheles, la kol zaman, for everything in life we can find time in a haphazard fashion. But for eis l'chol chefetz tachas ha-shamayim. But for things that are tachas ha-shamayim, there must be a set time. We are koveya itim la-Torah, not koveya zman. We do not simply find time for Torah or spiritual pursuits. They are the ikar. They have an eis, not just a zman. Nonetheless, once an individual has accepted employment, they must fulfill those obligations wholly and faithfully. While the core of halacha fundamentally never changes, its challenges manifest differently in every era. In the case of an employee's responsibility to his employer, the core obligations of being careful about the time owed the employer, as well as the focus, have not and do not change. But the challenges certainly have. And here I refer to the advent of digital technologies, and perhaps nothing more so than the smartphone, made worse with social media, but problematic even without. These new technologies have been designed to suck us into the vortex of their world, robbing us both of a massive amount of precious time and just as much destroying our focus. As I think that most of us understand, and there is research to support this impression, when we are focused on any task that requires concentration and then are interrupted, the time lost is not just the time spent on the interruption, but also the time that is required to re-achieve the state of focus that we were in before the interruption. I am hard-pressed to imagine anything more fitting of the Rambam's description of Shelo yigzal meleches balabayis v'yivatel ma'at bekan u'ma'at bekan u'motzi kol hayom benirma. It is worth acknowledging that the challenge is even more daunting because the very same technologies that can allow us to whittle away time also can, are, and must be used for work, for purposes, to do things more efficiently. As with all new technologies, there can be good uses and bad uses. But as an employee, one is not allowed to average out the good uses with the bad uses. The time still belongs to the employer. I'm not choosing, however, to speak about this on behalf of the employers of America, even though that might be worthy in its own right. I chose this as a topic to focus upon because of a different employer and the theft of his time. The Mishnah in Avos tells us that Hayom Katzar, V'hamalacha Meruba, V'hapol Namatzelem, V'hasachar Harbe, V'balabayis Dochek. The day is short, and there is much to do. But the workers are lazy, and the wages are potentially great, and the balabayis, the employer, is pressing. In the Mishnah, we are the indolent workers. The Ribono Shel Olam is the pressing employer, and the short day refers to our lifespan. In Eov's words, Halo tzavo le'enosh alei aretz v'chimei safir yamav. We have a designated time on this earth, and our days are like the days of a hired worker. We ought to remember that we are merely employees in the service of God, ki avadaihim, and behave accordingly. From the vantage point of a spiritual human being, our sole purpose in this world is to serve God, and we are in his employ. In the world of the Beis Medrash, as you well know, the greatest avera we often speak of is bittul Torah, wasting time not to be used for Torah study. But in the rest of the world, we should not speak so much of that bittul Torah, but the greatest chet of bittul Zman, wasting time. Most of us have or will have multiple responsibilities in this world, from Torah and mitzvahs to family, also a significant mitzvah, to earning a living, also a mitzvah. And anything which distracts us from our avoda is stealing from our employer, from the Ribono Shel Olam himself. Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Koheles, Ra'isi avadim al susim, v'sarim holchim kavadim al ha'aretz. I have seen servants riding on horses and nobles walking on the ground, leading the horses in the manner of servants. Think Haman and Mordechai. The purpose of technology, ostensibly, is to serve our needs, to make our lives easier, more efficient, so that we can use our time for more noble and sublime purposes. We are supposed to be the Sarim, and the technology our Avodim. Unfortunately, unwitting on our part, but by the design of those promoting the technology and selling it, we have become the servants, and it has become the master. If our struggle to remain engaged would be likened to a knife fight, it's as if someone has brought a bazooka. And so often, these technologies rob us of the time that is needed for more productive things and rob us of the human interaction that would be better served in engaging in. If I stopped right here, I know that you would all be nodding your heads, because this isn't really news. And maybe a few people would try to explain to me the values of this technology, why it's not so bad. And if that's where we stopped, it would be a waste of my time and your time. I am also cognizant of the probability that this problem does not affect all of us in the same way. There are exceptions, of course, in all cases. This tends to be something that affects the people of different ages in different ways. When I say different ages, more often it relates to when you were first exposed to this technology. But there are exceptions in every age category in every direction. When I chose to talk about this topic a month and a half ago, when I thought this is what I wanted to discuss in Parshas Hayetze, I realized that it would be a good idea that instead of just ranting about the big bad new technologies, to actually come to you with an ask. The ask that I decided upon was to pick a specific period in which to never pull out one's phone. For me, and I have a different ask from you, but for me, that was going to be mealtime. When I sit down at my kitchen table or my dining room table, it's the kitchen table to eat. Based upon the pasuk in Yechezkel describing the dimensions of the Mizbeach, as shown to the Navi, where it is said, Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem. Chazal, the Gemara and Brachas, are puzzled by the fact that the Mizbeach is being called the Shulchan. The takeaway from this, Chazal tell us, is that when there is no Mizbeach, when there is no Beis HaMikdash, it's one Shulchan that atones for a person. The Gemara hints that this comparison is in relationship to the commandment, the Gemilas Chasadim, of feeding people at our table who otherwise wouldn't have food. That's how we achieve kapara. That's our Mizbeach. But the comparison has been taken further. The Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, in the laws of Birchas HaMazon, mentions that the practice is to remove or to cover the knife during Birchas HaMazon. The Beis Yosef offers as his first reason that Barzel was not allowed to come into contact with the Mizbeach. If it did, it would disqualify the Mizbeach. And thus, during our blessing, our Birchas HaMazon, the Shulchan becomes elevated and becomes like a Mizbeach, and therefore no iron implement should be seen on the table, especially a knife, which is Mekatzer Chaim, which is why Barzel is prohibited on the Mizbeach. In a similar vein, I would suggest that the way we choose to eat speaks volumes about our spiritual disposition. That is, whether or not we are able to elevate what is on the surface, what is on its surface the most mundane and earthly of activities, and make it holy. So if our Shulchan is supposed to be like the Mizbeach, I thought for myself that would be a good place to start. I have a different ask of you, which is maybe a bigger ask, but I think it would be good. And I think you should do this yourselves, and it may be harder than you think, and that you should start making this a campaign. When you sit in a classroom, and when you walk in the hallways, do not have your phone out. It's one of the amazingly disturbing things that teachers see when they walk into a classroom. It used to be, in the age of the dinosaurs, when I was a student, you walked into the classroom before and people were schmoozing. Today, you all know that when you walk into the classroom before, typically, everybody is buried in their phone. It's very unhealthy. It's not good in so many ways for building community and for mental health. So make it your campaign that when you enter the confines of the classroom or the basement, Trish, and even in the halls, your phone is not out. There are almost always people around. If there are people around, strike up a conversation. If they're not, it's okay to be alone in your thoughts for a moment. It doesn't have to be filled with what's on the phone. Now, I go back to my particular situation. Since I knew that I was planning to make this ask a few weeks ago, I also understood that Noam Advarim Kishiyotzi Mipiyosein, that words are more acceptable when they come out of the mouths of the people who do them. And so I realized that I needed to introduce it into my life before making a pitch for it. For a few weeks, I avoided dealing with it. Each time I wanted to check my email or catch up on the news, I said, tomorrow. But about 3 weeks ago, I realized that I yom katzar, and so I started, or better said, I stopped. And I have to tell you, it wasn't easy. It's easier now because it's become a habit. It's almost like for me, when I have the temptation on my table, if I, that's a cutter zone. I can't pull out my phone here. If for some reason I would have to take something, this usually happens in the middle of the meal, I step away because I cannot have my phone out at the table. But my rule is that I don't do digital at the table. If no one else is present, I read a hard copy. I have to tell you, I'm enjoying the horror show very much, or catching up on other reading that I just never get to. And if someone else is there, I'll just eat, and I can try to converse. And I actually think that my life is better for it. I make conscious choices of what I want to catch up on, rather than going down the rabbit hole of news, as I think probably most of you know, I don't do social media. But I don't go down the rabbit hole of news where I am taken in the direction of some algorithm. Or I talk to someone at the table. I would also say that if my specific example, but speak to someone, find a different activity to regulate. I've made a suggestion to you that I think would improve your lives and everybody's lives here greatly. Permit me, if I may, to make one other observation. Instead of looking forward, look backward for a second. Think about the time we have wasted in the last week. How many minutes or hours? And what we might have accomplished during that time if we hadn't wasted it. How much Torah might we have studied? Or what kind of other productive things might we have done during that time? How much quality interaction might we have had with our children, our siblings, our parents, or our friends? Now multiply that by 52 and consider what valuable things we might have accomplished in the past year if we haven't wasted that time. For many of you, you might stop and think you might have been able to learn all of Tanakh. And now I multiply that number by several years, and I think you can see where I'm going. There is an expression in English which I don't think has a good analog in the rabbinic tradition, and that in itself speaks volumes. It's called killing time. But we believe differently. If you permit me one more time the license of the Darshan. La kol zman ve'eis. For every time, every moment, there is a chefetz tachas hashamayim. There is never a time that we don't have a task in the service of God. Even sometimes when we're relaxing, that too is a form of service. We are placed on this earth with a job. God is our employer, and we are not allowed to waste the precious time he has given us. We ought always remember the example of Yaakov Avinu. Ki b'chol kochi avadti es avichem. In our case, the employer is not avichem, your father Lavan, but Avinu shebashamayim. Good job.